The subject of the talk is the same title as Stephen Batchelor's book. I'm taking the title from Stephen Batchelor's book, which is Alone with Others. Levad im Acherim. And the truth is, it's very basic to the subjects we're going to bring up here in this course and have a Dharma or Buddhist view of issues like politics, like conflict, like money or work or issues like that, which are all related to the social world. And the Dharma is often, in a way, too concerned with the individual, especially in the Western world. And it's as if I need to be hard work as a self to break through, to be free. And we forget that we are a social being. And we all have a huge social dimensions, and we have to reflect on this a little bit and think about it together. And the truth is that we are made by others and we are made of others. In other words, we aren't anything on our own. We are all made from others and of others. So every word we know is from others. Every thought we think has come into us from others. The molecules of our body are from not other humans, but the materials of the universe, of the stars and on the sun. And so we are totally made of something else. And our DNA is not ours, it comes from others. Everything comes from others. So we also hold a huge amount of assumptions, hanachot, and truths that we believe, and facts, uvdot, on the world. They are all come from others. We didn't invent anything, really. And we believe them to be true. And our social identity is major part of our personal identity. And so we're built from others. And the story I love to tell, because it was so meaningful for me in my childhood, is that one of the great books that I read, and I think I told this before, is the Rudyard Kipling, the story of Mowgli, the Jungle Book. And it was really powerful. I read it when I was 6 or 7 in an old edition, like big, maybe 100-year-old book. And it was amazing for me to think that Mowgli thought he was a wolf because his parents were wolves. That means I think I'm Stephen because my parents made me like that. And I think it's true that I'm Stephen. It's not true. It's stum. It's totally stum. Because my parents made me like that, I think I'm like that. Because Mowgli's were brought up by wolves, he thinks he's a wolf. Therefore, everything is stum. We're made by others. My dog actually thinks he's a person. Yeah, because from a puppy, he's been with us and he's part of the family, so he thinks he's a person. And we need this. We cannot be alone. The Dharma of the 8 conditions, 4 of them are social conditions, namely acceptance. We want acceptance and not rejection. We want appreciation and love and not anger, hate, or not non-appreciation. They're very basic. This is very basic also to all other animals. What is one ant on its own is like a tar of a body that's just thrown. Ants have to be together as one organism. So we are made of others, and this being is a community. And this being, each one of us is a community, not a individual. So we may feel that that's a bit depressing, and problematic, especially when we look around and we think, what? I have to be part, I'm part of that society with Netanyahu as the boss, and that means I'm part of that. And we feel rather, you know, despaired that if I'm built by all of that, then I'm that, then that's a real problem. And it is a problem. And thankfully, we have the power to be different. Although we're built by others, we also have freedom. And the self, everything is very dynamic. So we are built and we still are built by others. But the dynamic self is also free to make its own truth and its own path in life. There is building, but it's not closed. Because we're not machines, we are humans. We can choose, we can change, we can know when we're being brainwashed, shtifat moach. We have a freedom to stand outside this ha'eder. So both things are operating at the same time. The pull of the eder and the power to be different and to stand against the eder, the herd mind, the toda'ah, the mind, the shela eder. And we can be alone and not be lonely. We can be alone. Just a month ago when I was in the UK, I spoke to a woman who is a Scottish woman, and she was 20 years a nun, Nazira, Tibeti. And I know her very well. And she's a real good friend. And she went off to live in an island called Jura, near Scotland, Scottish island. There's only 100 people on this island, and they never see each other. There's like 100 people, and they live alone, each one in their house, and then there's not even a proper shop for them. They have to go and catch a boat if they want to buy some bread. And so she lives in this island, and I said to her, are you ever lonely? And she said, that word doesn't exist in my vocabulary. Hamila zot lo kaimim b'lexikon sheli. Zeomer, it means she doesn't feel lonely even though she's alone, because she's in a way still connected to the whole universe. So we can be separate from the social world and not be lonely. And it depends on us. More than that, we need to go against the stream. We have to do it. Because, in a way, if we go with the stream, it always sweeps us into the norms of samsara. Because greed, hate, and delusion are the big, big pulls of samsara. Chukka, and I need, and I want, and I interest him, and money, and hatzlachot, and hashlayot, ein sof of illusions that are held as truth by the society. And if we want to be free, we have to go against the stream. We can't afford to go with the stream. Like they say, the pitgam, only dead fish go with the flow. Only dead fish go with the flow. Lechim hazerim. Rak dagim metim. Lechim hazerim. We really need to, because the truth, to follow the truth, to have the, to be serious about our life, we need to look at things fresh, and that means not to believe automatically what people tell us and where everybody is going, and sometimes we need to be more active and take another direction, especially if we feel that the direction is leading us to unwise or unhealthy movements. For example, the hysteria in the middle of the war on Gaza, in the whole country seemed caught in a fever of justification, because they're fever of hatzdaka. We are right, we are right, we are right, we are right, we're doing the right thing. There's a fever. I mean, everyone was like, nobody could stand against that. And even the people who were thinking differently were, I don't know what to say, everybody is supporting the violence. So we have to sometimes say, wait a minute, I'm not going to be caught by the stream. Sometimes we'll say, yes, the stream, I'm okay with it. And sometimes, but we have to be free enough to be able to stand against the stream if needed. Here too, I have a story from my personal life. My father, he left Germany in 1932, I think, or 31. Very early, at the beginning of the rise of the Nazi Party, a Nazi regime, when there wasn't really yet persecution of Jews at all. But he said, when my old friends from my school wouldn't talk to me and used to cross to the other side of the road so they didn't meet me in the street, I knew it was time to leave. That was really a wise thing for him to say. And thank you. I'm here because of that. I'm sure I wouldn't be if he hadn't done that. He said, as soon as people who I knew for years didn't talk to me anymore or cross the road so as not to meet me. He was talking about his school friends from his school when he was young. Then he left to England and left the country permanently. He was wise enough to see, I have to go. And standing against the stream. So it in the more far out sense of the Buddha Dharma, it can sound pretty crazy against the stream. The Buddha Dharma itself, and in a way all really deep, authentic spiritual paths, are naturally against the stream. They're just like that, because it's a deep language which is not shared as in the social discourse. Hasiya Chevrati doesn't go there. So any deep spiritual practice will lead us to be against the stream, and will usually lead to crazy wisdom. Crazy wisdom, how you say that in Hebrew? Chokhmah, Metarefet, again. It's a big concept in the Tibetan practice, but the Buddha had crazy wisdom. In other words, when people would ask him questions that to do with what the social consensus, he would say, that's a question you can't ask. Or he would be silent. Or he would say, you've got the wrong question. Or he would say, look and see the answer yourself. I'm not giving you an answer. He would turn, because he came from another place. And the dialogues with all spiritual teachers, Krishnamurti, Nisargadatta Maharaj, it doesn't matter who, the Buddha, they are all coming from a different place, and that's a crazy wisdom there in relation to the society. So we have to really be there if we want to be authentic. So that's a challenge, because we have to be confident to stand against the stream. It needs confidence. And our practice brings us confidence, not only because we sit strong, because they're yeshiva shloshavesha ala yashvan, ala karid, chazak. Lo rak ze. The confidence comes that we see truth, our truth, and we don't run away from it. So when we face the truth, we get confidence. The truth of the way things are. We get support from that. Sometimes we need to have the confidence to really go against the stream and stand up. Buddhism is not about being passive, irimitaya daim, because, oh, I must be nice. The Buddhist teaching doesn't need to be nice. Like the first meditation teacher that came to Israel to teach a retreat, it was 1980-something, John Coleman, he had a sign on his door saying, confrontation, but not conflict. Meaning, we have to be ready to say, lo ze, ze lo. In ethical problems, if we decide that something is wrong, or we decide something is foolish and people are harming themselves or others, or ignorant or whatever, we need to stand up and say our truth. And sometimes that needs confrontation. Not to be so nice. The Buddha was nice. Wasn't always nice. But never violent. Never conflict. But sometimes, yeah, stand up and say no. Or leave. Sometimes get up and say, I'm not working here anymore. This is an unethical company. I'm not going to be, and we'll get up in the cheder yeshiva, or shela vad menahel, and say, you guys, no. Sometimes you need to do that. The spiritual journey, Masa Ruchani, is a bit of a hero journey. journey of a gibor, a female gibor, male gibor. It sometimes you need to have that strength to say, it's a journey, a hero's journey I'm going on. Like Odysseus, I need to leave my home, I need to leave what's safe, I need to leave what the Hevra says, I need to leave what my parents are telling me, I need to follow my truth and follow my joy. And it needs sometimes the courage to be a bit of a hero. And it's part of the journey of liberation. The Buddha did it big time. He left his family, he left his father, he left his palace, he left his king, being a prince, he dressed in rags and starved himself and wandered the streets in the search of truth. Similar Abraham.
Lech Lecha.
Yeah, Lech Lecha. Similar with Abraham. Breaking down what the psalim, the iconim, the omer ha iconim shel hachevra. Today it would be money he would break here in the West. Like Yeshu, oto davar. He turned the tables of money in the, so he broke the iconim, the psalim, the of the time. So we have to be able to do that. And the last words of the Buddha, before he died, the last words were just about this. He said, "Be an island to yourself." And he meant this. From the context, it's quite clear. He meant, follow your truth. And I can think it's probably the best thing you can say before he died to somebody. Follow your truth. Follow your truth and practice seriously. So be an island is like be free in your own world and stand like in your truth strong and independent. Atzmai, autonomy. Luckily, when you do that, you find you're not alone, like this woman, Annie, in Scotland. Because when you stand alone, and you don't follow society, you still find yourself held by the world. You're not really alone, because you cannot be. So when you follow your truth, you will find that you are not alone, because the whole world is there with you anyway. So you are held, machzik, by the world. And so you'll be maybe alone in relation to the society or the normot shel hachevra. Maybe I'm alone, or I feel alone. Because ani lo lech lefi anormot, or muskamot. But the whole world is with you, meaning you feel belonging, shayachut. You feel belonging to the world. The world belongs to you. Every cat, every dog. You know, the cat doesn't communicate in normot. But the cat is with you and you're with the cat. What's the problem? So you belong to each other. The animals and the plants and the trees, and they're always human beings who are with you, and you're part of the world. So instead of depending, klut, on a group, there's less dependence, pachot, klut, and more relationship with a bigger circle, magal yoter gadol, bigger circle of connection. And so you don't feel alone, because you feel the world is with you, and you are with the world. So it's like the island, be an island to yourself, l'yot il atzmecha, but all the islands are joined, actually, under the sea. So, on the journey, however, on the journey, we have to be realistic and understand that we cannot be completely alone in this journey. And instead of the society with its muskanot, and the difficulties of a society, we need to have a sangha. For at least some time in the journey, sangha is very helpful to us. In other words, we choose a sangha which is allowing us to practice and which is interested in the truth. That's a definition of sangha. So, for example, we may not be in this course, in this group here, sitting in this room, we may not know each other at all. And at the end of the course, we may still not know each other. And it's okay. Because what is happening here in this room is that we have become a sangha. And the sangha means that we support this search for truth of each one of us. We support each other in the search for truth. We are in the same direction. And that's really more important than whether we can sit in the pub with each other or we know our life story or not. It's more important that we have a connection with people who are on the journey and what you call like-minded, who have the same mind, the same sense of a journey together. And we do need it at some point. We might not need it all the time, forever. But certainly, it's really hard to go on this journey totally on our own. Really hard, maybe impossible. And especially against normot that are in the other direction. We need the support of sangha. Ananda asked the Buddha, Ananda said to the Buddha, I realize how important is sangha. It's at least half of the spiritual life is sangha. And the Buddha said, no, don't say that, Ananda. It's the whole of the spiritual life. And this relates back to what I said at the beginning, that we think we are autonomous, totally like a box, because the self has that illusion. I am a box. And I'm looking out of the box to the world. But we're not a box. We are made like others. Therefore, sangha is crucial, important. Because then our direction, we are made by others, where the sangha is making us into Buddhas. As Thich Nhat Hanh said, the sangha is the Buddha. So he takes it very, but that's Thich Nhat Hanh's special kind of emphasis, that the sangha is the Buddha. But it's just telling us the importance of sangha as forming us into, shaping us and supporting our journey into a different shape from the norms of the social world. Building a different person. It's we help each other by modeling the Dharma to each other, by being a model for each other of how the Dharma is. And we may not know each other's names, it's not important. Of course there's kindness, but we may not be friends. Sometimes I know it's missing in these courses, people have said this, oh, I don't have enough sangha feeling and so on, but I think it's we have to understand sangha a bit more deeply. That sangha is that sense of we are holding each other's point of view, not holding each other's self from as a friend. We are helping each other's view, supporting the view of freedom. That's sangha. So, it's useful to reflect on this. It's useful to reflect how much for each of us, how much I'm ready to go against the stream, how much I do have sangha or I do not have sangha to support me, how much courage and confidence I have to stand in my truth, never mind the fact that everybody is going in the opposite direction. These are really important questions. They're very much a question that I remember from my teens and 20s. It's totally there, and I was a kind of real rebel. And I had my hair was down to here before anyone even thought of long hair. They didn't let me into Disneyland in America because they said, "You people with hair like you cannot. I'm not allowed in here." In 1967 or 6, or I forget, something, 1966, 67. And I was a real, one of the original first hippies. So I really went against the stream. I had a great time. It was wonderful to go against the stream. If you feel okay with it, if you feel your truth, my truth was leading me against the stream. I was really okay with it because of the truth that was clear from my insight at the time on the reality. And I was able to stand against the stream. Rather kitsoni. Okay, so that's what I want to say. Thank you. And let's have a little discussion about this right now.